knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean Richards. He's not just Dean. He's Dean Richards.
He's alive.
Alive and well.
He's alive.
Welcome back. You feeling better?
From the throes of death.
Oh.
Boy, you know when that flu bug hits you?
Yeah.
That's nothing to mess around with.
No. You had it pretty bad, didn't you?
I did. Oh, poor me. I got sick.
No, but, you know, nobody realizes how bad the flu can really knock you out for a week or two. And a lot of people then say, oh, what do I need a flu shot for?
Right.
I get one every year.
I was just mocking the flu shot like 2 days before I got sick.
We'll I see. Read your review. Dean's List, a C- on the flu shot.
I've read so much that, like, this year's flu shot is not that effective.
Hmm.
The strain of flu that's going around, apparently the flu shot doesn't keep up with it. So the way that the flu got even with me for such nasty words was by showing me that it's even less effective when you don't get a shot at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it struck you down. And
yeah.
And you were in bed for a while, right? You were out of commission.
I was out for like 3-4 days.
Something
like that. Thank you, NyQuil, though.
Yep.
Thank you, NyQuil. Yep. That's a nice restful sleep.
What they say in the ads.
Yeah.
They say that in the ads.
I'm available for endorsements.
Dean, you know,
fortunately, I got well enough right before the Oscars and then got sick again watching the show.
Let's talk about that.
I had this weird NyQuil dream that the end of the Oscars show got all messed up.
That's a crazy dream. That could never happen. All right. Now that it's happened, now that we've seen it, now that we've gotten the explanation for it, what do you make of it? Because that was really one of the weird... Everybody has their favorite weird moments from the Academy Awards over history, but that was the strangest of all time.
It's just colossal carelessness on the part of the accountants who have one job backstage. Mm-hmm. They have a pile of envelopes. There are two piles of envelopes, one on each side of the stage in case there's a problem, so they have a duplicate set.
Mm-hmm.
There's one job for those accountants to make sure that the correct envelope gets into the hand of the correct presenter. And I'm going to think, I'm not a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the night, I'm going to say there's one envelope left.
Right.
There should be one envelope left, not two envelopes left at that point in the evening. Couldn't have been that hard. But the guy who was supposed to be in charge of this whole thing it's been revealed that he was tweeting pictures of the stars backstage.
He and Emma Stone kept posing for pictures.
Emma Stone was standing there, and he was taking her picture.
Yeah.
It's not like she was posing.
Not her fault.
Not posing with him. But
right.
In fact, he even asked permission of the accounting firm, I think soon to be former accounting firm for the Academy Awards. Is it okay if he does that? They told him no, and he went ahead and did it anyway.
Yep.
And look what happened.
Yeah, colossal carelessness.
Dean, you know what I was fascinated by? And I'm watching it with my wife and one of my daughters, and they show that stage manager as everybody from La La Land is thanking the Academy, and they show the stage manager just running around like he's crazy. And I said to my wife, something's up because that guy is not supposed to be there. This is not going to end well.
Right.
And then yesterday, The Rock said, Dwayne Johnson said, he's sitting in the second row. He goes, when I saw this, I thought that guy was trying to sabotage the awards and I was going to charge him on stage. Did you read that?
I did not see that.
How weird would that moment
have
been?
That would have been great. Yeah.
The Rock had that story optioned. You're going to see it in a movie in like 2 years. You're going to see that happen.
Right. Right. What'd you think of Jimmy Kimmel's job?
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a fan of Jimmy Kimmel's, but I thought that he was funny and succinct. The people online are complaining the show is so political. The show really was not so political. Really, you know, if anybody should be complaining about the comedy on the show, it should be Matt Damon. He was the butt of most of the jokes that were hilarious, by the way, that I cannot get enough of the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon feud. It's so funny and so goofy. Hilariously funny. The amount of political humor is about what you'd see on any late night show anyway.
Yeah.
It was not overtly political, despite how much people are trying to make it political. It really was not.
Don't you think it's funny how many people, I don't know if you were reading people's texts and tweets, but people don't understand that Matt Damon is as in on this joke as he could possibly be. This is all as concocted as ever.
Right.
And people go, why is he so mean to him? He's one of the top stars in the movies. And then to have this guy ragging on him all the time. But it's part of the joke. It's
fun. I just love it. Even the day after, even this after this big debacle, this big mess which became it doesn't even matter who won the Oscar anymore.
Right.
After all that anybody was talking about was this whole debacle. And Jimmy Kimmel's on his show the next night explaining it. And he goes, this debacle, all I know is this. Matt Damon didn't win anything. He still was giving it to him. Still hilarious.
How did that all begin, their little rift?
In the early days of the show, they thought it'd be funny, and they pre-taped this. They pre-taped Matt Damon just sitting in the green room waiting to go on. So as a joke, Jimmy Kimmel said at the end of one show, sorry, we didn't get to Matt Damon next time. And then they started doing it almost every night.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
And Matt, you see Matt Damon sitting in the green room disappointed.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah, and it springboard from there.
Yeah. What does it mean to a movie that wins a bunch of awards? I mean, La La Land did pretty well. Moonlight did pretty well. There was a couple of films that did well. So what does that mean? Are they going to make a lot more money, Dean, because they won four awards?
They'll make a little bit more money. It won't be a huge bump. There definitely is going to be a bump. Moonlight's going to be in about two more thousand theaters than it was last week as a result of winning Best Picture. But, traditionally, Moonlight started off as a little independent film that was made for like $1.5 million. It's already tremendously profitable.
Yeah.
It's not going to make that much more money. Films like Spotlight last year and King's Speech, from the years before, they never go on to be enormous blockbusters. I think that's part of why the ratings were down. The ratings overall for the Oscars were down 4%, which is of concern to the Oscar people.
Sure.
They would like to see the ratings go up instead of down, but it was still the number one television event, not only of Sunday night, but all day Sunday. It was the biggest, most watched television event. It's still one of the most most watched television events of the year, with 34 million people watching it. It's still a big event. So just, to have these titles come up and get a little bit more attention,
mm-hmm.
Means something when they come out on DVD, and almost all of them are coming out within the next 30 days. Almost all the nominated or winning films are going to come out on Blu-ray and DVD and digital platforms. La La Land is expected to come out in May, but all the rest will be out, and they'll have some success that way. That's the way that it.
What do you know about Denzel Washington? Wendy and I discussed this the day after the awards. When they announced that the winner's Casey Affleck, they've got the five boxes of all the actors nominated, and you see that Denzel Washington does not seem pleased that he didn't win and it went to Casey Affleck. Do you know anything more about that?
No, I haven't heard specifically of anything factual. Denzel hasn't talked about it. I think he thought, as I did, I thought that he was going to win myself. He just was coming off of the Screen Actors Guild Awards win, which is that's a pretty significant sign when you win Best Actor with the Screen Actors Guild. That huge body of voters in the Screen Actors Guild who also vote in for the most part vote for in the Academy. That's a huge voting block. I mean, that's like getting California or New York or like one of the big states to come in for you, and it just did not. And I don't think that anybody thought that Casey Affleck was going to wind up being the winner. He had a lot of momentum in the beginning that subsided. He had the sexual harassment, or as Wendy likes to say, because she talks fancy, harassment suit.
Yep.
That came up that turned off a lot of people regarding Casey Affleck winning, including Brie Larson, who gave him the award. It was significant that he won, and Brie Larson stood on the stage about to present him the statue, and she wouldn't applaud for him because of that sexual harassment suit. So
she should have just dropped it, like when he went to grab it,
right?
Yeah.
Or handed it to him, then pulled it back. Psych!
Yeah.
at the last minute.
She should have dropped it the way they dropped the lawsuits. The same exact well, kind of move.
Because I thought Denzel was definitely going to win. If it wasn't going to be him, it would have been Ryan Gosling riding on the popularity of La La Land.
Sure.
But you never know how the voting's going to go.
So true.
You just never know. I was disappointed. I thought La La Land was the best picture of the year.
Yeah, me too.
Myself.
So good. Wendy's a huge fan of it. I'm a huge fan of your future.
I was full of NyQuil when I predicted that.
All right. Dean Richards will tell you what movies are coming out this weekend next. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It is Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN, along with our friend Dean Richards. Dean, another superhero movie, but this one's just a little bit different, right, Logan?
This is, it's apparently going to be the last in the Wolverine series, the spinoffs that Hugh Jackman has done after the initial success of X-Men. It's set in the future. Mm-hmm. Where Logan is taking care of Patrick Stewart's character from the film, who is now much older, much more disabled, and he's protecting him when a young girl is presented to him, who appears also to be one of the mutants. Mm-hmm. This is in a world where there are virtually no mutants anymore. They've virtually been eliminated. And this young girl is being sought for some reason, and he needs to protect Professor Xavier while also trying to deliver this young girl to where she needs to be. I know you'll find it hard to believe, while bad guys are in pursuit.
Oh, why are there always bad guys in pursuit?
Why can't they just relax?
I know.
Why can't there be a movie about bad guys going, I'm in my chair right now. Do I need to get up?
Right. That'd be great.
Really, I'm a little tired right now. But no, they're in hot pursuit. And I've lost track how many strictly Logan/Wolverine films there have been. I think this is the third.
I think you're right, yeah.
And I want to say I think this is the best of all of the three.
Oh, good.
Wasn't expecting that. Third films in sequence like that often kind of run out of steam, but if anything, they've found a way to recharge this whole thing. Hugh Jackman is great. Really brings so much dimension to this character. It's super violent. It's one of the more violent X-Men/ Wolverine films that we've had in a long time, but it's done with a great deal of thought. The story is solid and well put together, and as it develops, you begin to understand more and more what this little girl represents and why it's important. It's done with humor. In addition to Wolverine taking care of the Patrick Stewart character, Professor Xavier. There is another character that's played by Stephen Merchant. Do you know who that
is?
Yeah,
British actor. Yeah, Ricky Gervais's friend.
Right, from the original, the British version of The Office.
Yeah.
Who is one of my favorite actors, just so weird and deadpan.
Yeah.
And he plays a character like that here that offers a lot of comedic relief in this film. This film just really has it going on in a lot of different directions. Only thing I would warn everybody is it's quite a bit more violent than other X-Men movies that we've seen in the past. It feels like there's a lot more kind of blatant violence, not comic book violence. Yeah. And because Logan's special power are the blades that shoot out of his hands, it's a little on the bloody side, a little gory, icky from time to time.
Hmm.
Still enjoyed it though.
Hey, Dean, someone has texted, if I haven't seen a single Wolverine movie, would I be able to understand and enjoy this?
Yeah, you'll be able to understand it. It won't be quite as meaningful because there is a lot of nuance, especially between Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. It's one of the most endearing parts of this film is that these old friends in the series of X-Men movies and the Wolverine movies, you're watching these two old characters kind of grow together and kind of look back at their lives together. And if you have a history with them in the motion pictures, you'll understand it. It'll mean more.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't mean that you won't understand what's going on in this film. You will, and you'll get it. But if you know the history of these characters, it's like watching, you know, two old friends who you've known for a decade, you know, kind of getting old and
that's sweet.
Getting yeah. to a new point in their life. That's what I mean. The writing in this is, you know, so much more than, I'm mad. Look at my blades come out of my fingers.
That was the screenplay you and I submitted, remember?
That's right. It was actually called
the movie.
Over and over again.
Yep. What's Dean's List on this?
I gave this Dean's List B+.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah. Good, good, good. And then really quickly, Table 19. I know very little about Table 19. What is that?
You're probably better off. It's an alleged comedy that is... We've all been to weddings and maybe sat at the dreaded table of complete strangers.
Sure.
Where you sit and you don't know anybody and you're wondering, you know, why was I chosen to sit at this... You know, this table, you know, where I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And it's awkward and it's weird. And that's what this movie is about. It's about a wedding that takes place. 10 people are, you know, sort of this table of misfits in the back of the room that, as they put it in the movie, it's the table that if it disappeared, nobody would even miss anybody. Who was at this table.
Funny concept.
It is a funny concept, but it's this table of people who don't know each other, that don't like each other, and in the blink of an eye, suddenly are like the best of friends. It's a concept that just doesn't develop very well. It's not funny. It doesn't flow very well. And there are like really good actors in this movie. Stephen Merchant is also in this movie.
How about that?
And is even funnier in this movie. He's the one thing that I liked in this movie. Anna Kendrick is in it. Lisa Kudrow, Craig Robinson, lovely June Squibb. She was in the movie Nebraska. That's what comes to mind. The young was then young boy in Grand Budapest Hotel. Tony Revolori. Is in the film. So a lot of people and people whose faces you'll recognize, but script is terrible, doesn't hold together. Overall, is not funny, given this Dean's List C-.
Yeah, that's not good.
C- at this one. It's as bland as a piece of wedding cake a year later. I'm trying to come up with some like funny wedding cake joke for my review for tomorrow. There's something there.
You'll get it.
Rubber chicken.
Nah, you'll find
it. It's like the bad rubber chicken, something. I'm working on it.
Dean, thank
you. Tune in tomorrow and see what metaphor I wind up deciding
at. All right. I can't wait. That's Dean Richards. Dean, thanks.
Dean.
Have a good weekend.
Bye, guys.